You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 72, The Slight Edge of Tech. It is time to talk about iWatch.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was a good transition. I appreciate it. As you know, because you were there, earlier this year, we talked about the watches versus the glasses and what we thought would actually, you know, happen and what Apple would go after. And I believe I was something like, oh, it's not worth it for Apple to go after the watch thing. I was very negative on it. And you were like, it's going to be amazing. I might be switching teams after reading this article.
Yes. I knew it. See?
And furthermore, it gets me super excited about Pebble.
Yeah.
Because of what this guy talked about. So I will admit it. I hope that both Pebble and Apple read this guy's article because it was good. Super long too. So I'll see if I can try to cut it down to the most salient points. So why
appreciate
do I care
that.
About this guy? His name is a mystery to me, but that's okay. But what I do know is that he used to work for Apple. Okay.
Right.
And he used to work for Jobs and like he knows the Jobsian way. Okay. And so he came out and was like, I think Apple's working on a smartwatch. And he goes, I think they already have a division and I hope that they read this article. And if I give them good ideas, cool. But I doubt I will because those people are wicked smart.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, so first thing he does is he looks at the current smartwatch market and, you know, talks about like, okay, why are they problems? He said that one of the issues is that, you know, at least like before recently, they had just like way too much information on them. You know, they were huge, they were clunky, and like you had to have, you know, better than 20/20 vision to read it.
That was the fatal flaw of the classic calculator watch in that it was a giant faceplate, but there were like 17,000 buttons and like no area to read like the actual numbers. So it had limited usefulness because of that.
Yeah. And then another issue that a lot of them have is just bad battery life, which for him, he's like anything less than 4 years is considered bad battery life. Like, oh,
yeah.
Well, okay then.
Well, it's funny when you think about a watch. Yeah, that's I would say that that's very true. Like classic watches don't need to be repowered. What the heck is wrong with you people?
Yeah, and then he does talk about Pebble, and he goes, Pebble does some cool things, of course, but he also he's like, it's just it has to do more. You know, he's like, it's a good start, but we're getting there. And then he even talks about another one. It's like a Martin watch where he actually – this one has a little speaker thingy that you can ask Siri to call someone and you can talk to them through the speaker. but again, he's like battery life is the issue. So,
I'll bet the sound quality is fantastic too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So he talks about these different drawbacks. Okay, so the first one he talks about is charging, like I said. And he goes, the issue really isn't the problem that it has to charge. The issue is that you have to remove the watch from your arm in order to charge it.
Yes, I would agree with that.
What if you had a patent that allowed you to charge an object from several feet away wirelessly? He goes, and what's cool about watches is that they don't require a ton of power, and so it doesn't have to be ridiculously efficient. It could just have it be, oh, when you're sitting next to your computer, it's charging.
Yeah, triple charge.
When you're sleeping in bed, it's charging. He goes, Apple holds such a patent.
It's true.
So he's like, okay, so Apple can solve the charging problem. He goes, clunky design is another one, as we talked about. He goes, I got a two-word answer for you, Johnny Ive.
yeah.
He goes, don't worry. He goes, second, Apple also has a patent on low-cost method for creating curved glass screens.
That's actually what my – they just hired an OLED engineer, which everybody thinks is for the TV, which it very well may be. But my thought was an OLED engineer, like one of the big things with OLED is curved glass. And you know, Apple – that before Steve Jobs died, that was his big thing, was Apple's one of the best makers of curved glass in the world, and they're only getting better, which to me suggests that there's a correlation there. They want to do more with curved glass outside of just making cool architectural buildings. I mean, that's part of it, but I think they want curved glass surfaces for their devices, and I really do think that, part of this is part of the OLED engineering. This dude will be overseeing the future of how screens on the iPhones and maybe even the iWatch work.
Yeah, exactly. Another one that he talks about is menus and buttons and stuff. And he's like, Siri is an obvious answer to that, which I'm like, yeah, maybe. But he addresses, situations where you probably don't want to use Siri later on. But there's that. And so he sits there and says, okay, let's talk about some of the killer apps here. What can this phone do? Or not phone. and that's the other thing, right? The phone will do all the heavy lifting. The app itself is just going to be, watch itself is really just going to be a physical app. That's a facilitator, coordinator for either your computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever.
And that is an interesting differentiation, that's one of these is we treat smartwatches like we treat Bluetooth headsets, where what is a Bluetooth headset without a phone to connect to it? And that's how we're treating a watch. But classically, and this goes back to his idea of why I think we'd be willing to make the transition from batteries with a 4-year battery life or whatever, is because, we're inherently talking about a different device, because a watch has salient, important information readily available that's independent of any other mechanical workings. It's you're suddenly talking about a different thing. You're talking about a peripheral.
Yeah, and he's going to make the argument that when he talks about the killer apps, he's like, telling you the time is probably not going to be one of them. It's going to be as much of a killer app as the phone app is on the iPhone.
Right.
We're like, yeah, it's there, but it's just a part.
If it wasn't there, you'd be like, what? But they sell tons and tons of iPod touches. It's obviously not necessary.
Exactly. So they got this iWatch dilemma bobber. One of the things he says that they could be used for, which I was like, clearly you work in a company, is that he's like, it could be used for passcodes. Think of it as two-factor authentication, where you walk up to a computer, it unlocks for you. Your phone automatically unlocks for you. You don't have to type in your passcode every single time you look at your phone. Do you have a passcode on your phone?
No, because I like to live dangerously.
Yeah, exactly. Well, me too. But which is why I don't have any work email, because they won't let me otherwise. But it was like, that's annoying. But if your watch was right next to it and connected, why ask for the passcode?
Like, harkens back to what we talked about last week, which was the idea of Google wanting to move away from passwords and move into hardware peripherals, like a ring or something that connects via
near-field communication. Or a pair of glasses.
Yeah, exactly. So
another one that he had was find your iPhone, okay?
Yeah.
Which he's like, right now it's a pain in the butt, thankfully, knock on wood. I have not had to mess with that one yet. But you got to go find another iDevice or computer. You got to log in. You got to point it to iCloud. You got to wait while it figures out the signals. You got to select the device you want from the map. You got to then click the play sound and find the device you're looking for and dismiss the alert. And then you delete the follow-up email. It's like, that's how you find your phone. It's like, it's horrible.
Right.
Or you can use iWatch and make it a whole lot easier. He's like, you could have the local find. As long as your device is close by, just scroll a question mark on top of your iWatch or ask Siri, where's my phone? And your phone will light up and start chiming.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
Be very useful.
He talks about automatic find. He says he uses that example of how the iPhone got lost at the bar and Gizmodo ended up picking it up. He goes, you could have the iWatch on your wrist, and as soon as you move out of range, it'll tell you that you've forgotten your phone and then help you locate it.
That's cool. Hotter, 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 colder, colder. I guess that would be a really stupid way to find your phone, but kind of fun. I would make that app. We're going to make that app. Oh my goodness! Please,
it'd be an interesting game.
Don't anybody steal that idea. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and then what is? Oh, that's a dumb one. Other things. Then it turns to like, okay, what are some new things that it can do? Obviously, you could take phone calls potentially. It could vibrate, and then you could swipe, and you do Dick Tracy style, do two-way calls. Hey there, what's up, man? You know, whatever. That could be cool. But the one that I thought was the most interesting, there were a couple of them. Another one that he said was just, he goes, there could be amazing sensors in this thing that don't necessarily make sense to be in your phone, but totally make sense to be on your watch. He goes, you know, a huge one is going to be in the
sensor way too many times in that sentence, by the way.
It was just the right amount.
Okay, go. What sensors? Tell me.
So there's the sports and health data.
Nice.
Stuff,
that's what I want.
Where it could do temperature.
Okay.
And
heart rate.
It could do your heart rate.
That's
yes.
The important one.
He also says that it could do external temperatures and pressure. So barometer type things. Do you remember when I had that G-Shock watch that was just like crazy over the top?
It's yes, like, I do remember.
You could have that kind of thing in. You could have a proximity sensor that will know when the watch is hidden in a sleeve or under a blanket.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of like with a phone, right? That proximity sensor. Anyways. And then let's see here. He goes, and then you can start to combine some of them, such as like outside weather data that it could be collecting, and it'll know the external temperature. And he just sits there and says, you can have all sorts of interesting sensors that will then allow you to create apps that you just like, you can't even imagine today.
Right, which was part of that's part of what the invention of the, part of the brilliance of the iPhone, really and truly, and I don't credit for this, was the addition of the gyroscope and the accelerometer and the face sensors.
Yeah.
And all the different sensors that they put into it, you know, because they needed the sensor for this one particular app, and then they gave access to those sensors to third-party developers, and all of a sudden you have this explosion of creativity. And if you did that with a watch, I can totally see how that would have a similar amount, a level of exciting.
Exactly. So here's another one that it was just. Here's the one that I'm anticipating to blow your mind. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
Near field communication.
Woo!
You don't pay with your phone.
Pay with your watch.
Pay with your watch. You just tap done, and your phone still handles everything, but you don't have to go into your wallet or your pocket. For guys, it's not as big of a deal. For ladies, it's slightly a bigger deal. And he's like, and you could start to do things using your phone as the NFC chip, or sorry, using the watch as your NFC chip instead of using your phone. And now all of a sudden, your iPhone, your iPad, and your Mac, and potentially even your PC are now all NFC capable.
That'd be cool. That would be very cool.
Oh, you wanted to share contact information with someone? Switch to the app. Tap your wrist because you're awesome like that.
Nah.
Done. Right? You don't have to do like the Samsung commercial where you hold your phones up. Just kind of touch wrists.
Touch wrists. We like the Power Rangers or something. That feels like it's romantic.
Yes. So you gotta go like this. That's the you gotta cross your arms and then just touch it like that.
Why do we do this? I don't know.
it's a new meme.
What was I going to say? Shoot. Okay,
talking. And then I got another one when you're...
Okay, you keep talking. I'll try to remember it.
So, and then he kind of delves into crazy world,
okay.
Where you start to go, oh, yeah, all right. He calls it kid code because obviously your phone's going to have... like you said, the gyroscopic and the motion sensors in it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and so you will be able to type out, get this, text messages. He goes, why not? Using Morse code. And furthermore, you'll be able to receive text messages via
vibrations.
Why not? Morse code vibrations. He goes, so now, instead of having kids in school secretly tapping their phones, goes, they'll just be slightly tapping their wrists and receiving text in class without having to look or read. He goes, you'll be able to receive information. This is just like the jawbone sound thing.
Yeah.
Without having to look or read, it will just be there and you could interpret it. He's like, it is, and for any of you who know that you press the 4 button on the phone 3 times to get you an upper letter K, he goes, you know that this could work. He goes, and furthermore, if you don't know what I'm talking about, he goes, you're old.
Right.
And he's like, because kids, if this is a way for them to get away with texting and communicating, yeah, they're going to learn how to do it. He goes, you could do this in a theater. You could do this while in the middle of a sales pitch if you want someone to do something or ask a question.
Dark.
You can send them a quick message and they can get it. He's like, it's basically this silent messaging idea.
Right. I like it.
So I was like,
I like that. Huh. That's pretty clever. So I do want to go back. He sort of glossed over one point that I think is more important than he wanted to. Well, it's I guess maybe it's just a completely different topic, perhaps. But the question of the fashion aspect of it is a bigger deal, I think, than he. I mean, you throw it out there, it's like 2 words, Johnny Ives. But it is sort of but it's not like the iPhone in that, you know, they make a device. Well, it is sort of like the iPhone in that. Well, the problem is they make one size device.
That's all they do
with the iPhone, and they really tried it to maintain single size devices. Whereas with the iPod, obviously they came out with a gradient and a line of different devices and styles. And it's like, you know, ladies' watches and dudes' watches are different. Like, I'm not going to wear a ladies' watch and a girl's not going to wear a dude's watch. It's just not how it's going to happen. So just from a hardware perspective, and I know, and just from a hardware,
I don't even know.
Close enough. From a hardware perspective, you know, since Apple is a hardware company, you know, primarily that's their major income, revenue stream, I think it's worth actually taking note of the fact that you probably have to have 2 different screen sizes, or at least 2 different body sizes. You'll have to have different sized wristbands. You'll have to have, and watches aren't, once again, I come back to it, it's like watches aren't, well, this is not true. I was about to say, watches aren't like phones where you can have one style of phone and kind of it matches everybody. Well, watches are such an old institution of style that I feel like you need more flexibility, which Apple will just say, fine, go buy it from somebody else. You know?
I mean, that's their whole deal, right? I mean, that's what they're going to say.
That's how they work with headphones is they'll, their headphones, which what's exciting about that and what will be interesting is to see if they make it so that it has to be, you know, do they make it like a true peripheral where it will link to, it'll do, you know, will they open up access to the iPhone? So this is my question. If it is a true peripheral, if it acts as a waypoint for the iPhone, for your computers, for all these different things, and it just needs a certain set of parameters. It needs an NFC. It needs a gyroscope. It needs an accelerometer. It's like a headphone with a mic, where the headphone, it requires a certain type of jack, and it requires some sort of functionality for, it has to go through Apple's approval process to be an Apple verified peripheral watch. You know, are they going to go that route, or are they going to say, no, it just doesn't work unless you have an Apple iWatch? And, you know, because to me, it's like, you know, this would be really cool, and I would probably get the Apple one just because, you know, I like to spend money. And and yeah. It will probably be, you know, style. It will probably match me, and I have a feeling that if Apple goes this route, it will be, you know, it'll match a lot of people's ideas of style. I don't think that they're going to have a hard time with that, but I do wonder, you know, what will, you know, differ no other reason than size and styles vary. People are going to want that same functionality, but in a different body and a different manufacturers. And are they going to play nice? You know, are they going to? Well, they tend to, though. I mean, even, you know, Apple TV obviously
you get different
has
colors.
Right. Well, but I mean, what I mean is it's like AirPlay has a specific function, you know, was designed for the Apple TV. The Apple TV works as a peripheral to the iPhone and vice versa. You know, and they connect through AirPlay. Well, AirPlay plays really well with speaker systems and different video systems. They play nice, and I think Apple would have to do that, and that would be the biggest innovation from an iPhone perspective. They'd come out with their piece of hardware, and then they'd have a way to communicate. We'll bring these two technologies together via this. Watch thing, and depending on how flexible
other developers could tap into that API if they wanted
to. And depending on how flexible that API is, now all of a sudden you actually open it up to this idea of the intelligent peripheral. We start with the watch, everybody else makes a clone of the watch, but why can't you make headphones with that kind of intelligence? Why can't you make doors with that kind of intelligence? Why can't you make cars with that kind of intelligence, where suddenly you've opened up what you can suddenly do is you can open up this in a very easy pathway, an easy way to connect to a Bluetooth, near field Bluetooth enabled device. And all of a sudden, it's not just, you know, it's not just Bluetooth using all these different Bluetooth API calls, which is what, you know, because I guess effectively that's what it is. Now that I'm thinking about this all out loud, is anybody can do this sort of thing.
Well, and that's the thing, right, Pebble's already started down that path, but what Apple's going to do is they're going to be like, yeah, it works over Bluetooth, but we create our own special protocols to make it really simple for developers to connect and plug and play in.
And that, in my opinion, could be the next big thing. That could be bigger deal.
So I get it. Totally do. I also think a lot of the stuff could be done with the glasses, with Google Glass as well.
You know, and that's a great point. If Apple were to launch this sort of a thing, like an easy connect peripheral things, that just gives you allows a ton of communication, a really wide array of APIs, then all of a sudden Google makes their Google Glasses and it's designed for Android, but they sit there and they go, yeah, but Apple just launched this like suite of really easy API calls and it'll connect really easily to the iPhone. I guess we'll make an app, but why not? I mean, we want everybody to buy these glasses. And, you know, that's the sort of thing. I think that's a big deal. I actually think that's a bigger deal than the piece of hardware that they'll use to sell the piece of software. You know, classically, it's classic Apple. They come up with a really valuable idea, and then they make a piece of hardware to sell that idea. If they were to do something like that, that would be awesome. But who knows if they will and how well they'll execute it.
But it's cool. It's cool. So now that I've read this, I see the point of it. If I had a choice, I'd rather get Google Glass, I think, over the watch. Well, I don't know. I already bought a Pebble, so maybe that says something different. But the price was reasonable. That was the big difference. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe that's part of the game.
Passing on those, by the way, passing on some of those Kickstarter projects is the hardest thing for me to do. It's emotionally tolling watching the time come and go and going, funny. I'm glad I didn't buy that, but I really, really wanted it.
So one of the this is a total side note. There's an app that I use called Lyft, which actually goes really well with the Slight Edge.
The Slight Edge.
That's going to be our title. I already know it. they're daily tasks, and if you do them, it turns it green, like a big green bar, and then you can give other people props, and they can give you props, and you know, stuff like that. The idea is, you do these things over time and you see your green bar fill up and you're like, yeah, I'm being awesome. Like, and one of them I do is like, I just want to floss daily. Right. Which I've been doing really well, which is like the first time in my life I've been doing really well flossing.
Oh man, we've got to have an internet high. I went to the dentist early, late last year, like last week in December. Mm-hmm. And they're basically like, if you don't start flossing, your teeth are all going to fall out. Really? Like, yes. Like, how soon? Like, really soon. Okay, I guess I'll start flossing.
I'll start flossing. So, anyway, one of the, so I have, I have a bunch of them, you know, exercise being one of them. But one of the things, you know, I've got like five that I focus on right now. And one of them is I just want to save money today somehow, which nice. Classically, and this will get relevant really quick, which classically for me, it means I just got to turn off my space heater for like an hour or two or something like that, which I'm going to count right now because I don't have a heater on in the room and it's starting to get cold. And which is actually had, that has had a meaningful, so that's a small thing, right? Hour, 2 hours a day, in a room that is, you know, not going to get super cold. And I've actually watched it. It has a huge impact on my electricity bill, which is cool.
Nice.
So, you know, measurable impact over time. It's not even 2-3 years. Anyways, for you, it could be like, I saw a Kickstarter project. I didn't fund it. All right, save money.
Yeah, honestly, I saved like $200 last month then on one project.
For choosing not to do it. I love it. That's funny. That's funny. Okay. Watches, awesome. I'm still excited, very excited for my Pebble watch. I think that they'll be able to incorporate a lot of things with, you know, that he described in this article.
Yeah.
And I know that they get it, which is what's exciting. And I think, you know, the future is very exciting when you're thinking about like where we're headed in this wearable future. I think it's even more exciting than like the connected home, just because I think it's going to come closer and sooner.
Well, I in my humble opinion,
you're not trying to connect up with different hardware stuff.
In my humble opinion, it is this idea of the connected peripherals is. You know, the house is expensive because it's a whole series of connected peripherals that you tie together into
right.
a single giant peripheral that you live in. But it's from a computer science perspective, from an engineering perspective, and the philosophies of how you develop these and the technologies that you base these things on, they're all really connected. They're all tied together.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and so it's, you say, yeah, but it's an easy stepping stone. It's, the goal is to have you connected to everything. And
okay, well, I was just saying exciting from the standpoint of, I think it's going to happen sooner than later.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
I would agree. I think it comes first, and I think it's coming fast. Okay.